constructs, but have parallels in the autonomic nervous system. When the autonomic nervous system is in a state of calmness and social accessibility, then treatments for both mental and physical disorders can be efficiently implemented. In contrast, when the autonomic nervous system is in a state of defense and vulnerability, then it is in an antagonistic state that blunts the effectiveness of treatment. Simply stated, the theory uncovered the structures and portals through which our neurobiological quest for safety through connectedness with others may be implemented. When a new theory is presented, its intellectual accessibility is dependent on several complex and often not acknowledged historical features. Most importantly, there is a need to understand 1. Antecedent theories. 2. The language used to describe the hypothetical constructs illustrating the functions described in the theory. And 3. Questions that the theory proposes to answer. Since evolution is an organizing principle in polyvagal theory, in which neuroanatomical structures are proposed to facilitate specific adaptive functions, an understanding of vertebrate evolution and neuroanatomy of the neuroregulation of the autonomic nervous system are required for a critical dialogue. In addition, since the theory leads to testable hypotheses based on dynamic adjustments in autonomic function, a sophisticated understanding of the metrics of measurement, for example, time series analyses, is necessary. Scientists are intellectually focused and affiliated with peer groups defined by shared commitment to study common problems. They see the world through their research questions, explicit and implicit theories, and methodologies. My scientific origins are rooted in the world of psychophysiology, a science that emerged in the 1960s to study how physiological responses paralleled psychological phenomena such as mental effort, attention, expectancy, stimulus detection, decision-making, truthfulness, and preference. At the time I first presented the polyvagal theory, arousal theory was prevalent in psychophysiology. Although arousal theory had a long, influential history in science, it had a relatively simplistic underlying model. Basically, arousal theory emphasized that arousal was a linear construct indexing a dimension from low to high levels of activation that could be measured or inferred from the observing behavior or physiology. The relationship between arousal and performance was often portrayed with an inverted U-shaped function, in which optimal performance occurred within a mid-level range, while poor performance was observed at low and high levels of arousal. This relationship was known as the Yerkes-Dodson law. Metaphorically, arousal represented the energy of the human nervous system. Arousal was easily understood, since when it was reflected behaviorally, it could be quantified as greater activity, and when reflected autonomically, it could be observed as increases in sweating and heart rate. Early psychophysiology research assumed that peripheral autonomic measures provided sensitive indicators of arousal. This view is based on a rudimentary understanding of the autonomic nervous system, in which the changes in electrodermal activity, for example, sweating, and heart rate were assumed to be accurate indicators of sympathetic activity. As the activation arousal theory developed, a continuity between peripheral autonomic responses and central mechanisms was assumed, and sympathetic activity was assumed to parallel activation of the brain. According to this assumption, organs influenced by sympathetic efferent fibers, such as the sweat glands, blood vessels, or the heart, were potential indicators of limbic or cortical activity. Although the specific pathways relating these various levels were never outlined and are still sketchy, electrodermal, for example, GSR, and heart rate became the primary focus of research during the early history of the Society for Psychophysiological Research. This was due to their presumed sympathetic innervation and, in part, to their measurement availability. By default, this emphasis created a research environment that neglected several important factors. A. Parasympathetic, for example, vagal, influences. B. Interactions between sympathetic and parasympathetic processes. C. Peripheral autonomic afferents. D. Central regulatory structures. E. The adaptive and dynamic nature of the autonomic nervous system. And F. Phylogenetic and ontogenetic differences in structural organization and function. Polyvagal theory proposed a more complex nonlinear model of autonomic regulation that focused on identifiable and potentially measurable neural pathways that contribute to autonomic regulation through a definable feedback system that could promote homeostatic function. The theory required a conceptualization of autonomic regulation that was challenging to